Good morning. It's always good to be back here worshiping with your community. It's been a while since I've been here, but I feel like each time I come, I recognize a few more faces because I got to meet a few more of you, and I love that. So thank you again for inviting me to be here with you this morning. Before we open scripture, please join me just in a brief prayer for illumination. God, as we open your words of life, we pray that you will continue to reveal yourself to us, and that we will grow in knowledge and understanding of you and your love for us. We pray with the psalmist that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will give you glory. Amen. So we are going to be reading this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 34 to 42. So you can find that in your pew Bibles, but it will also be up on the screen. And these verses are Jesus speaking to his disciples. "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." This is the word of the Lord. Now, if you were listening to Martin pray, you heard him talk about the Prince of Peace, or you see the Prince of Peace written up here. Or if you read your bulletin, you saw that the title of this sermon is The Prince of Peace, one of the names of Jesus. And so I'm going to guess that you were not expecting the scripture passage for today to begin with Jesus saying to his disciples, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." These are unexpected words, especially coming from Jesus. And I'm not sure about you, but as I reflected on this passage, I realized that I don't really remember reading these verses when I was younger, or hearing them in church or at school. And if I did hear them, I think that I must have just ignored them because they didn't make sense to me, and I didn't want to take the time, or I didn't know how to dig into what they were all about. It was easier for me to just skip over this part of Matthew, to focus instead on other passages. Passages like later in Matthew, where Jesus tells one of his friends in the Garden of Gethsemane to put down his sword, where he says to the people with him, including those who had come to arrest him, that those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Or the passages that describe Jesus as someone who brings peace, or gives peace, or sends people in peace. These passages made more sense to me. And when I read those passages and I thought about peace generally, I thought of calmness and quiet. I thought of inner peace, or of a space or a place without conflict, a silent place, a still sanctuary. And without even really thinking about it, I transferred all of these ideas onto what Jesus' peace must be: calm and quiet and still. But then, when I was in my third year of university, I traveled to the Middle East for the first time. I would later go back and live there for several years, but this was my first trip to study abroad for a semester. The program I was studying on was based in Egypt, but after the semester was over, I took the bus with a few other students from the States and Canada, and we took the bus all the way up from Cairo, up into Israel and Palestine, about a 12-hour bus ride. And one of the places that we stayed was the Galilee region, Jesus' home region. And we went there specifically to visit a priest whose books we had read during our semester. So this priest's name is Father Elias Shakur, and he is a Palestinian Christian. He is also the now retired Archbishop of all Galilee in the Melkite Church, or what is also known as the Greek Catholic Church. So Father Shakur, you can see him here, was born in the Galilee, and he has lived his whole life there, and he has dedicated much of his life towards working for reconciliation between Palestinians and Israelis. His main focus has been promoting education and nonviolence and trying to bring people together across divides to work for a future that is truly just for all of the people of his homeland. And as we see the suffering in Gaza that Martin prayed about as well, we are reminded again how critical and how difficult this work is, but how deeply important it is. So we visited Abuna Shakur, that's what we called him. Abuna means our father in Arabic. We visited him at a church that he had helped to build. So this church is called the Church of the Sermon on the Mount. There are several stories connected with this church and where it is and why it was built. But one of them is that Father Shakur asked that on the stairs be written the Beatitudes from the Gospel of Matthew. So the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, in English, Arabic, Hebrew, and French. And it's hard to see in this photo, but you can see it better in this close-up. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. So these Beatitudes form part of Jesus' teaching to his disciples about the kingdom of heaven, about the character of the good news that Jesus brings: a kingdom of justice and hope and mercy and peace. And he gives his disciples this teaching only a few chapters before the message that he gives them in today's scripture reading. So we have Matthew chapter 5, a kingdom of peace. And then Matthew chapter 10 from today, not peace, but a sword. So this might seem like a contradiction, but I learned from Father Shakur that it isn't at all. So as he explains in his book, We Belong to the Land, the story of a Palestinian Israeli who lives for peace and reconciliation, knowing Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke, which Father Shakur has also studied, has changed his understanding of what Jesus is telling his disciples. So when we read Jesus' words in English, they are words that have been translated from Greek, the language that Matthew was written in. But Jesus did not actually speak these words in Greek. Instead, he spoke them in Aramaic. As Father Shakur explains, because the Bible as we know it is a translation of a translation, we sometimes get a wrong impression. For example, we are used to hearing the Beatitudes expressed passively. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When Father Shakur says passively, he means that it's as if those who are pure in heart, or those who hunger and thirst for justice, just kind of sit back and wait for something to happen. But when he looked at what Jesus actually said, he realized that the word we translate as blessed comes from an Aramaic verb that is active. It's a verb that means to set yourself on the right way for the right goal, to turn around and to repent. So he asks, how could I go to people who are suffering? How could I go to my fellow Palestinians, for example, and just say, well, sorry for what's happening to you, but blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Or blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of justice, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If I say it like that to someone who is suffering, he said, they're going to respond, you don't understand what I'm going through, and neither does your God. Instead, Father Shakur's understanding of Jesus' words in Aramaic lead him to translate the Beatitudes like this. Get up, go ahead, do something, move, you who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for when you do, you shall be satisfied. Get up, go ahead, do something, move, you peacemakers, for you shall be called children of God. Christianity, Father Shakur says, is not passive, but is active, energetic, alive, going beyond despair. Get up, go ahead, do something, move, Jesus says to his disciples. With this understanding, we can then read today's passage differently too. So as I said earlier, the Sermon on the Mount describes the character of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that Jesus is inviting his disciples into. And in today's passage, Jesus is sending his disciples out to invite others into this kingdom as well. And he's preparing them for what this work is going to be like. He's preparing them to get up and to move. But he says, because you're bringing my peace, it's not necessarily going to be easy. It's not necessarily going to be calm and still and quiet. As Jesus says in the Gospel of John, the peace that I give is not the peace that the world gives. So then what is Jesus' peace? So the only passage in Scripture that actually calls Jesus the Prince of Peace comes from the prophet Isaiah, and I think many of us are familiar with that passage. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The writer of Isaiah wrote this in Hebrew, and so when he says Prince of Peace, what he was saying was Prince of Shalom. So shalom, many of us have heard this word before. It is a richer, more expansive word than the word peace in English. Shalom is the word that the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, uses to describe wholeness and restoration. Shalom is the image of the new creation, when all living things flourish and are in right relationship with God and with each other. Shalom is when the kingdom of God has fully come. So as my friend Jody Sparger says, using the Hebrew Scriptures, shalom is when no one is missing and when nothing is broken. This is Jesus' true peace. But Jesus, because he is just as human as he is divine, he knows that we, as human beings, we might misunderstand or misuse or cheapen peace. He knows that we might try to make it easier, more manageable, less disruptive to our comfortable lives. That we might try and define peace only based on material possessions, having a beautiful, peaceful home, or having money in the bank account, having financial peace, or a kind of inner peace that prioritizes our own well-being and the well-being of our family above everything else. None of these things are necessarily bad in and of themselves, but when they make it too easy to close our eyes to who is missing and to what is broken, then they are not the kind of peace that Jesus brings. When peace means building a wall to shield ourselves and our families from what's around us, hiding in a sanctuary where no one and nothing can touch us, that's when Jesus brings a sword to disrupt us, to remind us that above all, we are called to follow him and to seek the kingdom of God. The Dutch theologian and politician Abraham Kuyper, who some of you are familiar with, puts it in a blunt way that Dutch people are known for. So Kuyper says, "When principles that run against your deepest convictions begin to win the day, and peace has become sin, you must, at the price of dearest peace, lay your convictions bare before friend and enemy with all the fire of your faith." When peace becomes sin, that is when Jesus brings a sword. Not to harm, not to strike down, but to, as the message translates it, cut through our cozy domestic arrangements and free us for God, to call us back to take up our crosses and to follow him. American John Perkins, an evangelical Christian and civil rights leader and an advocate for reconciliation, who works in the United States with the same convictions as Father Shakur in Israel and Palestine, sums it up this way. I know it's a lot of words, hopefully you can see it. Jesus is the incarnation of God's love. But Jesus also said he came into our world to disturb the peace, to drive a wedge into the divided society that holds us captive. That sword is a wedge to interrupt the way things are, not a weapon to wield in defense of the status quo. The church is called to be a prophetic voice in response to society. That's what we see in the model that Jesus provided. Jesus' peace is, again, to get up, to go ahead, to do something, and to move, to stand up for those who are persecuted, as Martin prayed for this morning, to comfort those who mourn, to empower those who are meek, to work for justice, to show mercy, and to strive for peace. And this is a challenge for each one of us in every area of our lives. Now, I know that it can be intimidating to look at people like Father Shakur or like John Perkins to think, yeah, but these are examples that are way too big. They are impossible to follow. I'm sure some of us feel like we're already exhausted and barely meeting the demands of our lives as it is. I'm sure some of us thought, I just barely made it to church this morning, and now what are you asking me to do? But both of these people, Father Shakur and John Perkins, Father Shakur, born a Palestinian in the Galilee, John Perkins, born a black man, the son of sharecroppers in Mississippi. What they did is they just looked around in the places they already were, at the people they were already with. And they asked, What does Jesus' peace look like in this place and for these people? And then they got up, they went ahead, they did something, they moved. And they did not do it alone. I know what we see in the news can feel so discouraging, but there truly are thousands of people across Israel and Palestine working for justice and for true peace. And there are thousands of people in the United States and elsewhere working for racial reconciliation. When Jesus sent his disciples out in Matthew 10, he did not send them out alone either. They were sent together and with his authority. They were not sent with their own message or in their own power, but with the message of the kingdom of heaven. They had Jesus' teachings and the Hebrew scriptures to guide them, and they were seeking the peace of Christ. We, each one of us, are sent out the same way together. And that sending starts right here, every Sunday morning. We don't gather here in worship to escape the brokenness of the world, but instead, we come here to confront it, to engage in the act of peace with the help of Jesus' Holy Spirit. And we are sent out with the knowledge that we are beautifully human, but we're also only human. As much as I can hold up positive examples of Father Shakur and John Perkins, I could also, unfortunately, hold up negative examples from throughout Christian history of people who tried to do it alone, who took a different version of justice, different than Jesus's, and they alienated others in their search for this justice, or people who took the wrong path because they were by themselves. Or people who never stopped moving and exhausted themselves entirely, hurting others and themselves in the process. At the end of the day, seeking shalom is our work, but it's also God's promise to us. We work for shalom, but we also rest in shalom. Again, as Martin prayed, though the wrong often seems so strong, God is the ruler yet. It's not up to us to make everything right. God is doing that. He calls us to work with him, to bring glimpses of Jesus' peace in the places we find ourselves. But again, it is not all up to us. That is the promise of Easter. That is the hope of the cross. Jesus has already died and risen again for the fullness and restoration of all of creation. And he will come again. We can rest in that. But again, he is still sending us as workers for peace. And it's not an easy peace, and it's not a simple one, but is still the peace to which we are called. To ask, who is missing from our churches, our neighborhoods, our cities, our countries, our world? To be honest about what is broken, and then to get to work alongside God, our Creator, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, working towards Jesus' shalom for ourselves, for our communities, and for the entire universe. And this is good news indeed. Amen. Invite you to join in prayer as the worship team comes back up. Prince of Shalom, we thank you for your promise to us and your challenge for us. We pray you will empower us and energize us and reassure us and renew us for your work of peacemaking and peace building and sharing your good news wherever we find ourselves. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Willoughby Church Sermon Podcast. The Willoughby Church Podcast Network also has podcasts about discipleship, the Heidelberg Catechism, and even a podcast hosted by some of the youth. You can find out more about the Willoughby Church Podcast Network by going to willoughbychurch.com.